These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, agenda-free Felger and Maserati. Agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges. They don't. PlanetFitness.com, everything on the board from the week. Anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's up to you and your calls. A couple of special guests in the studio that we'll get to later on in the hour, Christmas in the City award winners, so we'll talk to them come much later. But we've got stuff on Tuukka Rask, and what you just heard in the update, that Vapsin sort of out of nowhere this morning. With the Bruins, you know, what's up with them? What does that mean? That's, you know, probably the lead story today. And then the Patriots heading into the weekend with the Tennessee Titans and the Celtics last night. That was a hell of a ball game, too. So get right back to the calls unless you have an opening thought this hour, Anthony.
I just want to thank Chris Gasper and commend him for retracting the column that he wrote on Malcolm Butler the other day, admitting that he was wrong and taking his beating like a man.
Full retraction and apology. Thank you, Chris, again. It takes a band to admit when you're wrong.
Yep, we were right.
Okay, so anyway, back to your phones on all of the above. Mark in Providence, what do you got for us on the Celtics? Hello, Mark.
Yes, hi. Haywood, he's leading the story right now with his poor play. But look, that deal was a year and a half ago. I think this is an organizational problem. There's a lot of things have changed since he's made that deal, Danny. There's too many guys on this team that require 30 minutes plus to get the most out of them. And Stevens is never going to get the most out of these guys playing 22 minutes a game. I think Danny's got to get back to work and rework this team and get a core team together.
So I agree with that a little bit. They got to cull the herd. There's just no way.
Too many people.
That all these good young players that you like can all progress the way they should or would with all of them bumping into each other. There's just between Kyrie, Smart, and Rozier, something has to give. It's going to be Rozier. And between Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, something has to give. And I don't know which one you pick. It ain't Tatum, that's for sure. That gives, but something gives. And if Marcus Morris is on top of all of them, that's even more, you know. So, like, they got to figure that whole thing out.
Yeah, too many bodies. Like, I don't know. As the caller was talking there, I just started to wonder. I don't know. Tatum was good right out of the gate. I mean, for a rookie to come in and have that kind of impact. Like, I just started to wonder right there, if Danny Ainge knew that Tatum was going to be that right out of the chute, would he have signed Gordon Hayward?
It's a great point.
Like, would they have done that? Because this kid can play a lot of minutes.
Well, hold on. How did the timing go? I think they drafted him first.
So, no, but my point being,
the draft before free agency?
Yeah, but my point is, they couldn't possibly have imagined as a rookie that he would come in and be what he was.
Right.
Like, what rookies are, it's rare. Unless it's rare for a guy to come in as the number one pick and have the kind of impact that Tatum did. So maybe he was even farther along than they expected. And in retrospect, I don't know. I just wonder. Maybe they wouldn't have signed Hayward.
Here's a holdover baseball call from earlier in the show. Dan, thanks for hanging on. We appreciate it. What do you got for us?
Yeah, no worries. Hey, one of the things about that Silver Slugger Award that just blew my socks off this morning was, did you guys see the stats with J.D. Martinez? When he was playing in the field versus when he was a DH?
Yes, very high.
It blew my mind.
What's your point?
So do we look at maybe trading one of our outfielders to get JD more time at, say, left field or something like that to get a better starting pitcher?
Oh, Dan, well, if you do that, then you're going to upset the Jackie Bradley Jr. hippies. Because
why does it have to be him?
Well, who would it be?
How about the guy who can't perform in the postseason?
Oh, who are you implying there, Murray?
Oh, well, God forbid.
So you would trade Mookie Betts before Jackie Bradley?
Say you could get Jake DeGrom for him. I'd do that.
I don't think I would. I wouldn't. I'd move the other guys, and I'd still hold out hope that I can sign Mookie sometime here in the next couple of years.
Betts for Jake DeGrom?
But Betts would get you a lot. Betts would get you a lot. I mean, if I were the Red Sox, and you want to start going down Fantasy Island here, I'd offer Betts up for Mike Trout. That's what I would do. I think they both got a couple of years left, but they're talking about signing Trout to a lifetime contract.
Okay, so now we are getting goofy. But to me, if someone wants to overpay for Jackie Bradley and it's .230 average.
Yeah, see you later.
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. But you know what that's going to do to the Jackie Bradley Moonies out there? You know what that's going to do?
Oh, they'll lose their minds because of the defense. And he did actually produce in the postseason, unlike My guy, who is the favorite player on my favorite player on the team?
You are higher now on Jackie Bradley than Mookie Betts.
In terms of postseason output? Yes. Yeah. The results. Use your eyes. Scoreboard, Murray, as someone would be wont to say here in this situation.
I'll tell you just quickly. I find it interesting that Martinez was the first guy ever voted at two positions in the Silver Slugger. And that's managers and coaches. Right? So, like, even they couldn't decide what he was. And the fact is that the rest of the field was so thin that he won in two spots. Like, that, on some level, that has to be an indictment on everybody else.
Here's Derek in the car on Rob Gronkowski. What do you think, Derek?
My Gronkowski thought is, I was wondering, you know, I feel better with him on the field just due to the fact that, you know, he does basically get that double team. I do think that if we are able to get another tight end, it would be great. With that being said, I love your guys' show, the way that you guys do it. You don't give us all a reach around. You basically flick us off and give us the Boston Tea Party tea bag all the time. It makes it a better show, and I love it.
There you go, babe. All good. I think we can say most of that. No? None of it?
Yeah, one of those is a little shaky.
Okay. This is.
I think Murray knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Alex in the truck on the Celtics. Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got to totally disagree with what Gasper said about needing to always throttle teams like the Suns. I get that the Celtics don't look very good, but it's at least to me a hallmark of a team that's ready to go deep in the playoffs. If when you're down 20 points in the third quarter, you're not just going to sit out there and lie down and take a beating from Josh Jackson, that you're actually going to be able to go out there and try to get a result. You guys are talking about home court advantage, and those are the games right there. It's the difference between first or second, third, or fourth. And I'm not saying that they look good. They don't look good. But that, to me, is a lot more about shot selection. Like, they missed 10 layups in a row. I mean, they look like crap. So, but at least with all the attitude problems in the past week, you know, at least it gives you some kind of hope that they're ready to go out there.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from. I also think what you're doing is, justifying where – look, these good Celtics teams that have come through here, you've seen it early in the year. The year they won with Garnett, I don't know why it just stands out, they went to Texas early on in that season, and they swept that Texas Triangle little run, which was hard. Dallas was good at that time. It was a good three-game road trip. They won all three games, and immediately, and that was, I thought, relatively early in the season, December to November, you said, uh-oh, they're onto something.
I think they started the year like 25-2 or something. They were ridiculous.
And it just established immediately what they were. Last year, they lost their first game and then won 16 straight or something like this.
Lost their first two and then won 16 in a row.
Okay, so it's like it was established early on, and that meant something. We all bought. So now they've done just the opposite, and you're like, well, it's okay. They've shown the no. Which one is it? It's not always going to be okay.
People are making excuses for them right now. That's what they're doing. You're making excuses.
God.
They're not playing as well as they should because they're all a little selfish and they haven't figured it out yet. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to stay this way forever. Do I think they will figure it out? Yes, of course. They're too good not to. And honestly, Kyrie's not going to let him lose some games like last night. He's that damn good.
Oh, yeah, he proved it last night. He was like, he has to look around and be like, no, we're not losing to this team, the Suns.
The young guys on this team have too much rope. They have too much rope and they're giving too much juice. So I would say to Tatum and Brown, more Tatum than Brown, because Brown's been here a little longer. Sit down, play on the bench, and if you get your 15 minutes, shut up. Okay, you've been in the league for 1 year. You haven't done anything yet. So if I'm them, that's, to me, establish the hierarchy right now. It's Kyrie's team and no one else's.
Rob in the car, what's your call on the Butler situation?
Well, I just wanted to give you guys the honest answer as to why you didn't start. It's not some big conspiracy theory and sexy thing. It's pretty simple, actually. He was told earlier in the day by a coach that he wasn't going to start that game, but he was obviously supposed to play. And he lost $100,000 in incentives if he didn't start. And he flipped out on the coach. And when it got back to Bill, Bill turned around and said, fine, now you're not playing at all.
So why would you give me something so specific that I can look up? So we can find out whether he had $100,000. And if he had, this would have come out. $100,000 incentive just to start the game. I don't even know if you can do that. I mean, I bet you can, but I don't know. Like, well, let's look, because that's all on the records. Gasper, we can go through the NFLPA, right, and look up all the contracts and get all the incentives. You can just look it up, Gasper. Right? If Malcolm Butler had a $100,000 incentive to start the Super Bowl, that would be in his contract details with the PA, right? Probably. I mean, we go look that up. So let's look that up. Not right this second, but we'll look it up. Okay? I don't think that's it. Because I think if that was it, it would be too easy to confirm. Here's the second call I've gotten on this today, and I can already tell it's bugging me. John and Randolph, what is it?
Hey, guys. Hey, you had a call about an hour ago bitching and complaining about Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
The score. Patriot fans need to shut up.
Thank you.
They're the ones that run the score up on everybody. Just look back in the 08 season when they beat Hall of Fame coach Joe Gibbs 59-0. They weren't thrown in the fourth quarter. Give me a break.
Oh, John, thank you. I'm glad that was your take. Because we got a call earlier saying, can you believe what Tomlin did last night with running up the score? I'm like, oh, my God, I can't talk to you people. I can't. Like, how many?
No,
like,
and then that guy started bitching about the fact that Brady doesn't have a real 1,000-yard rushing in his career because they don't count the kneel downs.
No, he took a knee.
So maybe that was just an outlier, a little sensitive. But please, folks, there are some seasons and some games, a lot actually, where you're so good and so much better than the opponent that the only thing we have to talk about is whether you ran up the score or not and whether that's appropriate or not. And you say to me 100 times out of 100, well, it's the opponent's job to stop you. And it's this big defense mechanism against the Patriots and running up the score. I do not want to hear about Tomlin or anyone else running up the score from you people.
Yeah,
I can't.
The Redskins game, I think, was 56. It was the Titans game that was 59.
Oh, right. Yeah. 50, that was in 09, the snow game in October.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
59. 59 effing points.
No, but the call.
59.
Okay.
Yeah, he's talking about the Gibbs game.
The Gibbs game, that was totally... That was the most egregious game of that whole season of
Absolutely
running up the score.
Absolutely was. I was at that game.
And it goes, they were throwing bombs up 40, 40-something points in the fourth quarter. And I think it was the Spygate revenge tour.
Yep.
But there was also history there between Bill and Gibbs from the old NFC East days and the Giants and the Redskins and whatnot. And I just know Bill on the sidelines just says, F this guy.
52-7 was the final.
This freaking guy used to cheat his face off. Go back and look at the Redskins practice squads during those years. This guy, I got to feel guilty about this old fart. He cheated his face off in the 80s against me at the Giants. Screw him. Tom, go deep. He absolutely ran it up on Gibbs.
See, I get the games mixed up. When they ran it up on the Redskins, it was 52-7. Two weeks later, when they ran it up on the Bills, it was 56. That's right. I forgot. I got those mixed up because they ran it up more than once that year.
George in Rhode Island on the Pats. Go ahead, George. I'm sorry. It's Greg.
That's all good. Hey, guys, you're not going to find a bigger Malcolm Butler fan than me. You know, the guy even retweeted a picture of me wearing his jersey on his Twitter page. But I truly believe Tennessee's going to win this weekend, and he's a small part of that reason. I just think this team is really good at pressuring the quarterback. They got to Wentz. They got to Phillip Rivers. And if you look at that game against the Chargers, you know, they can contain teams that like the run-pass option and like to get the ball out quick to the back.
So Greg,
I just think,
yeah, you're giving me a little too much. If you're telling me the Titans can stop the Patriots, I'm with you. I think they have a shot. I mean, the freaking Packers stopped them for, about a third of the game. And the Packers blow.
I mean, I'd say three-quarters of the game.
I don't know about that much. But
it was 17-17 going into the fourth.
Patriots needed all sorts of trickeration to score 30 against Green Bay. So Tennessee's better defensively. So I think Tennessee could give them some problems. How's defensively, how's Tennessee going
to
score?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a problem. Problem for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mass
just revealed himself.
Yeah, well, because I'm looking for a game this week. What can I tell you? I want it to be competitive. And so,
good luck with that.
So, if Tennessee's going to win the game, they're going to have to get a defensive score or a special team score or something like that. You know, someone's going to have to pick one off, a deflection, whatever. They're going to have to get a defensive score because I just can't see them getting into the 20s with their offense against the Patriots without it.
Okay, I think Murray's upset some Red Sox fans. James in Coventry for Murray. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, let me give Murray one thing, and I got one thing on Cordarrelle Patterson because it's Agenda Free Friday. Anyways, Murray, what you just said is the dumbest thing you've ever said on the show, which is incredibly difficult because you guys obviously say dumb stuff all day long.
Fair.
Mookie Betts should have a blank check in his locker every day until the end of eternity. There is nothing more important for the Red Sox than giving him whatever the heck he wants until he signs it. End of story.
Marketable. Let me just say, marketable, MVP, yep. And rightfully so. Literally my favorite player on the team, believe it or not. But you don't have any issue with the fact he's baseball Peyton Manning in the playoffs?
I have no issue whatsoever. because he is great. Literally, he's a five-tool player. If it doesn't work in one playoffs, I don't have any every time he's up to bat when it's important, I think he's going to come through. I never once think he's not going to come through.
Okay, it's three playoffs, not one, but either way, quickly on Patterson.
Just a weird comparison. I think he's similar to LeBron James in the NFL for one reason, not having anything to do with skill or overall greatness, nothing of that. But physical size making him incredibly versatile. This year, the Patriots have used him as running back, wide receiver, and tight end.
Okay, James, Cordell Patterson and LeBron James.
Holy crap, are you kidding me?
I think what he means, I hope, is, you know, when LeBron said, oh, I could play tight end in the NFL. Or maybe it's the versatility of LeBron in the NBA. If it's that, I don't know. That's a horrible analogy.
No. Here's what I would say to the caller. LeBron James can play a lot of different positions, but he's good at them. Cordell Patterson can play a lot of different positions, and other than kick returner, sucks at all of them.
Did you have a Betts follow-up, Maz? You were just going to say something before I cut you off on Betts. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, I'll tell you what I'm starting to wonder about Mookie Betts, and this is a bigger discussion for another day because it's probably going to piss some people off. Is he a real franchise guy?
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. Like, he hits leadoff. If he was that much of a real offensive force, he'd hit in the middle of the lineup. Like, you can give me George Springer all you want, but I think that the key to those Astros teams are Altuve and Correa and those guys, like not the guy who hits leadoff. I want the guy in the middle of the lineup who I can build my lineup around. Now, if they can put Mookie Betts in the middle of the lineup and he produces, fine, I'll change my mind. But I really do start, I'm starting to wonder, like, when it comes time to pay Mookie Betts, I'm not sure I want to give him $35, $40 million a year.
Oh, well, then you're not going to have him because that's what he's going to get.
So, and I'm not joking about that.
And there's been a million guys who performed in the regular season and not the playoffs who've gotten their asses paid.
Oh, yeah, no, he's going to get paid. I'm just telling you, I don't know that I want to be the one to do it. Someone's going to give it to him.
Manny Machado is about to get paid.
Yeah. And I would tell you that in terms of talent, I think he's got more than Mookie.
Come back with more of your phone calls on Agenda Free Friday next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Seattle huddling up, down four, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson extends the hands he has. Pass. Wilson, quick throw, and it's good. Intercepted. With 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a four-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
It's called Halo.
Line up, power, block it. Touchdown. He probably would go in backwards.
The pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
Patriots didn't ask for a 32nd pick. They asked for 42 and another pick.
Malcolm Butler just runs right by on the outside, and of course, it is Malcolm Butler who thought he was going to be playing for the New Orleans Saints this year. Stephon Gilmore got paid all the money coming over from Buffalo, and Malcolm Butler will tell you straight up that it shook his confidence a little bit. He thought he was going to be the guy to get paid. Then he thought he was going to be the guy to get traded to New Orleans. None of those things happened, and here he is, the number one corner in this game.
And it's weighed on him a little bit because he's had an up-and-down year.
I'm getting tired of it, and I bet you Bill's getting tired of him reacting to plays that he's giving up and turning around and complaining and putting it on his teammates. He's in a contract year, and he's like, now he wants it on film that every time he gave up a pass. No, it's that guy's fault. It wasn't my fault.
Love it.
What's really interesting here, Malcolm Butler, hero 3 years ago in the Super Bowl, has not played a defensive snap tonight. The Patriots are telling us a coach's decision.
I don't know. They gave up on him. Yeah. It is what it is. It was the coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have none but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
I feel that way. What happens now, Malcolm? Unrestricted free agent?
I ain't Miss Cleo, so I can't tell the piece.
Another New England Patriot going over to the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, there are a lot of people who thought that Malcolm Butler would have to sign a one-year deal after the Super Bowl fiasco. But no, He's going to end up with a five-year deal worth more than $60 million. He gets more than $30 million guaranteed.
And there's the Malcolm Butler story, latest chapter Sunday. Game here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, 1 o'clock with Sosie and Zoe. Here's my prediction on Malcolm Butler. I'm going to be surprised if you don't notice him. Like, Vrabel's a new coach. I have no idea if he can coach or not, but he's got to have half a clue that you just can't keep putting him out there on an island to get picked on and let Bill pick this guy apart. Is Vrabel going to let Bill pick this guy apart?
And I doubt it.
And people forget, like last week against Dallas, Butler got torched, but in the second half, they did something because you didn't hear from Butler in the second half. Man, that's a good thing. The Titans totally shut him down, and you weren't seeing Butler run around out there with like a chicken with his head cut off. So I think that tells you that they made some sort of adjustment in the second half. And the only thing that would surprise me is if Vrabel leaves Butler out on an island to be exposed in this game. I just think he's got to have enough in him to not let that happen.
I don't know. Patriots have a way of getting a matchup that they want at some point. And again, that goes back to coaching. Somewhere along the line, he's not going to be invisible, Mike. He's not going to be invisible. Like, at some point, there's going to be either he makes a play on somebody or someone makes a play on him and we go, oh, there you go. Now, I don't know how many times it'll happen. I don't know if it'll be a touchdown.
My prediction is it's going to be less than we think.
Maybe. Yeah, so that you might be right about that, but I'm with Gaspar. I like the idea of putting him on Edelman. You can't put him on Gordon. You can't. You're just giving up too much size there. And so, to me, I bet you Ryan gets Gordon. But then after that, I don't know. I mean, where else are you going to waste him on Hogan? Like,
that's a good way to hide him.
If they put him on Hogan, Belichick will throw to Hogan, and Brady.
Okay, and then who wins that?
They'll find a way to.
No. I'm saying if Vrabel putting Butler on Hogan forces the Patriots to throw to Hogan, isn't that what the Titans want?
Sure, I like Butler's chances, but he's been playing.
But it's not just that. It's just I don't think Chris Hogan's going to hurt me if he's a primary guy in the office. So what, you're going to target?
Unless they set him up.
So you're going to target Chris Hogan just to pick on Butler and ignore James White and Rob Gronkowski? Fine, that's a win for the Titans.
Yeah, but only if they set Butler up. That's what I'm saying. Straight up, no. But, they'll get him to bite on some sort of fake, and then Hogan will beat him down the field, and they will run Hogan down the field. We've seen it in the past. So I just, somewhere along the line, it's going to come up, one way or the other.
Okay, more of your phone calls. We'll have another thought on the Tuukka Rask situation just a little bit here, but I want to get to some of these calls. Seth in the car on the Celtics. Hi, Seth.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Jennifer Fry, so a little bit out of the box here. I don't know if you guys have been out to the TD Garden yet this year for a Celtics game. I heard they're doing it for the Bruins, too. But someone over there decided that it'd be a good idea to go ahead and shut the lights off in the balcony and half the lows, too, and I don't know if they're going for that old L.A. feel with Kobe, but it sucks. It's miserable for the fans. It's like they're trying to put everybody to sleep. I don't know if it's just been bad games this year or what, but it's working because it's awful, and I need either Big Jim or Jimmy Stewart or someone to help me out here and get the lights turned on, please.
Okay. They call it the stadium lighting or something? They do it in New York a lot. They do it at the Garden and the Barclays Center. It's they call it something. Are they doing that? Jimmy, have you been to a game yet? You been to a Celtics game this year?
Yeah, I've been to a few of them.
Have they changed the lighting in the stands?
They have. I think they're using like a different LED lighting.
It's not darker. I haven't been. I know this is agenda free, but can we do this another day?
Yeah, I hate watching the Knicks games on TV, for the record, but go ahead. But I hate the lighting in those buildings. Hate it. Too dark.
Rory in the car has a Celtic thought. Go ahead, Rory.
Hey, how you guys doing? This really isn't for you guys. This is just me venting. Jason Tatum, you're not Kobe Bryant. Stop trying to be Kobe. You're never going to be Kobe. And Scalabrine, you need to be a little bit more critical on the team. Mike Gorman gave you an opportunity to do that the other night. And Scalabrine just continues to get on his knees for Lucky and the Celtics. So thank you, guys. Have a good night.
That's a requirement there with the Celtics network there. You got to. But on Tatum, a little bit of a legit concern there. I mean, he works out with Kobe Bryant in the offseason. The next thing you know, the ball goes to him and he swallows it. Is that a coincidence?
No, it's not a coincidence.
And he gets benched last night. He's benched last night. They come out of the second half, and he's on the bench. And the assistant coach says, effort's non-negotiable. We're just trying to find guys who will give some effort. Effort's non-negotable. Basically calling out Jason Tatum for not giving effort.
Yeah, they made a point. I mean, clearly, that's identifying a guy and calling him out.
Shrewsbury says, we're just looking for five guys who are going to play hard. Effort is non-negotiable. As Jason Tatum starts the second half on the bench.
Replaced by Marcus Smart, which suggests defense. Like, to me, I don't know how you take that any other way. You pull a guy off the floor as an offensive player and replace him with a guy who plays defense? What are you looking for there? Someone who tries on D.
Our buddy Big Jim Murray's just cut out for Nashville. He's being filled in for by Christian Arkan. You have a thought on this, Arkan?
I do, actually. Jason Tatum at the half last night did not record a single stat. He had no points. He had no rebounds, no assists, no steals, shots? No block. He had four shots, so four missed shots, I guess you could say that. But he was a ghost. I mean, he was nothing out there. And I was surprised that it was Smart that, yeah, well, I'm not surprised that Smart filled in, but I was surprised it was only Tatum who got benched in the second half. I thought Hayward had to get benched too, or any of the other starters. No other starter scored a point in the first half.
Or it was that bad. Had a field goal other than Kyrie.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, you tell me, you're a little concerned about your team, Christian? You
think big time. There? Absolutely. I mean, listen, it was a good comeback and everything, and Kyrie was great, but that's the Phoenix Suns. I mean, those are the Phoenix freaking Suns. They've won two games this year, and they're, you know, there's talent. I heard you guys talking about this earlier. There's talent on that team, young talent. They're not a good team. And for the Celtics to need that kind of effort to beat them in overtime, it was brutal. I mean, that was just brutal.
I have no problem with Tatum being singled out if that's what happens, or what happened. If they looked at it and said, well, we're not getting effort from a lot of guys, and we're going to single someone out, I have no problem with it being Tatum because I don't think he's played great. I don't think he's played team basketball. How about that? In the early part of the year, he's had flashes where he's scored. But defensively and offensively, not team basketball. And he's the youngest. Like, this whole idea that he's a rookie and he warrants all this respect, and I say the same of Brown, but it's worse with Tatum. He hasn't earned it yet. I believe in that. I believe in the whole earning your time, earning your stripes. I believe in that.
Okay, here's an update with Arkan. Then we come back, and he's going to give you here the very latest on the Tuukka Rask situation from today. Then we discuss.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
I was just trying to keep it on a 10. That's it. That's what I was worried about. Like I said, it's loss is loss. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I mean, it was kind of a crazy game both ways. You know, a lot of goals scored, and it was at the end it looked like everybody was napping in the crowd, and it was just one of those games. A whole lot of action in either end. No shots, and then all of a sudden it's 5-3 and 8-5 or whatever. So yeah, weird game, but that's entertainment, and we're just providing it.
That's entertainment. Weird comment from Rask last night. Weird Bruins game last night.
I mean, in that comment, really, he's all over the place.
And the first thing is, we're trying to keep it under 10? Joking? If you paid for that thing last night, you should be suing the Bruins for consumer fraud. It was a joke of a game. From the whole team, the first goalie to him, but when Rask came in, he was like, really? Like, woof. Dude, what is up? And I think maybe that was a final straw for him or the team or someone to say, why don't we step back here for a second and take a break? I wonder if that was an impetus or it's something off the ice that just came to a head that he or they had to address, and it starts with that, or if it started with that performance last night. I mean, really, all season he's been out to lunch. But out to lunch all season. Last couple, you could really, again, the sarcastic comment is his leave really began about 2.5 years ago. He went on leave because he doesn't feel like he's been very engaged goalie here for the last couple of years. But the beginning of this season, oh man, like even worse.
No, last night's the one that put them over the edge.
And then last night he's letting in 55. I mean, and Halak was bad too. I'm not saying like this is Rask's fault, but when he came in, 55-foot wrist shot, they have a power play and he's clearing the puck and he puts it right on the stick of a Vancouver Canuck and he doesn't even hustle to get back in the net and they throw it in the empty net. Then there was this mishit knuckleball, little beach ball that he couldn't catch. It was like, whoa, what's going on, man? And so it doesn't surprise me in hindsight that there might be something off the ice that's affecting him on the ice. It actually, in hindsight, makes perfect sense. I just wonder how long it goes back.
Well, so look, I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question. But, last night's the one that put it over the edge. Because, again, they were supposed to practice at, what was it, 11 this morning? Yeah, and they went 20 minutes late.
So,
right?
Folks, in case you're just joining us, you haven't heard this yet, that everyone shows up to practice today. The Bruins are 20 minutes late on the ice. When they get on the ice, Tuukka's not there. Cassidy confers one-on-one with Bergeron and Chara. Then when they finally started around noon, Rask still isn't on the ice. He's not coming on the ice because the team releases a one-sentence statement right around that time that says Tuukka Rask has been given an indefinite leave. Then Don Sweeney, not, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes later, comes to the podium to say nothing, basically. Says, being up front, Tuukka's going to take a few days to allow him to address a personal matter. It's not health-related, so I think it's important for everyone to respect his privacy and allow him to deal with it for the next few days. So something happened overnight or sort of last minute to the point where they had to come out late onto the ice, right?
Right, exactly. And or Rask, in his own judgment, based on his play, finally just said, I can't do this. I can't do it. I mean, I can't do it this way. I can't juggle both at the same time. So he then says, I need a blow here. I need a break. I got to get away here for a few days to take care of something. And, I say something. I'm sure he told the team what it is. But that's what it feels like to me. I don't know. Could there have been a fight in there? Sure. Like, who the hell knows? It could be any one of a million things. But to me, like, it's always hard as a media person or as a fan or follower of the team. Because on the one hand, obviously he's a human being. Sometimes life gets in the way. It happens. But at the same time, when they're on the ice, you hold them to a standard. If they're out there, they're supposed to perform. So if you can't do it, then get out of the way. You got to get out of the way.
And I do. We're all curious what happened. And maybe it'll come out in time. Maybe it won't. Whether it came from the team, whether it came from him, whether it was last night was a jumping off point, or last night was just another sign that something ain't right. And so they finally decided to get out ahead of it. I'll just say again, it's really, in hindsight, it shouldn't be a surprise that he might have had something here off the ice affecting him on the ice, because he's playing like it. He's playing like someone who's brought his crap to work. I mean, just to be blunt.
I mean, and again, I don't know how many times you can say it, those short side goals, it feels like he gives up one a game. Like just some little weak shot from either right around the net or on the same side that gets by him on that side. It sneaks in at the post. And then he had the one against Dallas the other night that Krug said deflected off a Krug stick, and Tuukka still should have had it. I mean, there's one of those a game.
All right, Christian, have they called up the next guy? Is it Vladar or is it going to be Zane McIntyre?
I actually haven't seen. I'll check that for you. Okay. But I'm not sure.
They're waiting until after the Providence game tonight to make that decision as to who gets called up to back up for Saturday night.
All right, I want to see this Vladar kid. I've seen Zane McIntyre. I think I know what he is. I've seen him. This Vladar, he's like, when he's 6'9", Russians, you just put him on his knees. Is he 6'9", 6'7"? He's like giant.
Something like that. 6'8", I think.
Darth Vladar. That's what they call him.
Yeah, I like it.
Darth Vladar.
They got back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, right?
I don't know.
I think they do. I think there's a chance, actually, that
well, eat your Wheaties, Halak. Because, I mean, I don't know. Do I want to see Darth Vladar? I don't know.
I do.
6'8". This is the future of the position. Put some 6'8" guy on his knees and just plop him there.
Listen, I'm all for it. Find the biggest, fattest guy you can get and shove him in the net.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tires. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody, Christian.
Nobody does. We have, we got some good stuff here for you, okay, but I believe.
Well, so first of all, we have a guest in studio. We have a auction winner from Christmas in the City who bid a generous amount to come sit in and watch us. Carol McKean is sitting here now in our Town Fair Tire studios. Carol's a nice Wisconsin gal.
Yeah, thank you so much for bidding. That's very thoughtful.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. She actually wanted to come in and watch us and see it in person. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, we do have that effect on people. I understand that.
I mean, seriously.
That was a joke.
Is it any less, was it any less or more stupid in person than it is on the radio?
Well, it's very entertaining.
Okay, that's
yeah.
What
it's entertaining.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying more stupid.
Yeah, that's
stupid.
One word for it. Yeah, exactly. A little stupider. I got more with Carol here in a second. Carol, first we get kind of stupid. Here we have a little Mad Mike.
Yes, we do. Mad Mike, do you guys have any idea what this might be?
Is it a dual Mad Mike Squeaky Mass?
No, it's just Mad Mike.
It's something to do with Malcolm Butler.
It has something to do with the Patriots. In particular, attending Patriots games. So let's take a listen.
Oh, yeah.
This presentation.
This is
good.
Yeah, this is excellent.
Phil and Rivera joins us next. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, guys. the crowd, you could hear everything that nose tackle said, everything Aaron Rodgers was saying, up until the fourth quarter.
I went last night to the game for the first time as a fan in like 20 years. That place is loud, but it's not the crowd.
The game presentation. What's happened to the game presentation down there? It's unbelievable. There's like a light show between every play. There's a light show and a music show. A second and five. Every freaking play, like a non-stop assault on my senses. It's so loud. You know what I mean, Maz?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I let the thing breathe a little bit. God. So when they turn off the music, maybe it sounds like it's not loud because the fans are just at a normal volume. But every play. Just turn everything down. God.
I guess I'm just used to it because
I haven't been there in a while. I haven't seen a game of Gillette in a while. But boy, turn it down just a little bit for every freaking play. God. Can I just hear the ref blow the whistle and they sound like, well, it's okay. Once. Oh, I was like, turn it down. This is the first time I sat in the stands and had a Bud Light and watched the football game.
Yeah, the stars, they're just like us.
It is so f***ing loud in there.
It is. Like, just make it stop.
Oh, yeah, no, I used to feel the same way about Yankee Stadium. It was brutal, sensory overload.
All right, so anyway, Carol. So, you bid, wow. you came in, you picked this week because it was Aaron Rodgers week. We're going to do it last week or this week. So, you came in here thinking you and I, a couple of sconers, would be able to shake our ass at Boston for Aaron Rodgers, right?
Well, yes, but I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay, what?
Join the club.
Yeah. So, I'm sitting here listening to you, and then as a Wisconsin guy, you just said, Packers blow?
Yeah. They suck.
Come on.
It's a joke, Carol.
Come on.
Do you still believe in that team?
Yes, my dad is buried in a Packers jacket. Come on.
So, you know.
Come on. It's called loyalty.
Rest in peace, but your dad's team sucks right now. Your dad's team is not very good.
It is called loyalty.
You can't.
Not on this show.
Yeah, no, we can't afford loyalty, Carol. It's all about takes. And if your team sucks, your team sucks.
Well, you did say on your post-event that the Packers did quit in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, they quit.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they quit.
No. They Packers quit. Don't quit.
Oh, they quit.
No. And I think I've got a teammate that's called in.
So the sconers are now.
I got to call in my people. So because I don't have people here. My Wisconsinite is not loyal. So I've got to call in my loyal.
Carol comes with callers. Mickey in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Mickey.
I call in callers.
Go ahead, Mickey.
Well, clearly you guys have a better coach, but we have a better quarterback. And then that's what you guys have to look at.
Why are you still playing that game, Mickey? You lost. Like, let's not play that game.
No. You know what? I listened to you guys afterwards, and you said something that was correct, and that was that we were outcoached. And I'll give you that. Mike McCarthy should be fired. But statistically, you got to look at it. We got the better quarterback. You got the better coach.
Yeah, Mickey.
And you also come out of the worst division in football.
Well, so that part's true.
When's the last time one of your teams was any good in that division other than you?
No, it's a good point. No argument with you on there. And honestly, I don't even know you, but your defense blows.
Well, the defense is bad. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue that we got outcoached. The defense, we were running with you all the way through three quarters, and then you're right. We fumbled the ball on your side of the field.
Hey, Mickey.
And suddenly we didn't show up to finish the game.
After a game like that, you just have to hang your head in shame. There's really nothing to say.
Got to play the full 60 here, Mickey.
Other than the fact that when we run the table now, we'll be seeing you, well, we hope to see you, because you guys might not be able to make your way through.
Okay.
Oh, but don't you love his accent?
Yeah, here on Cheesehead Radio. Yes, girl?
Run the table.
I'm going to run the table, eh? I mean, I'm from the same place as you, but I mean, come on. You guys are a parody of yourselves.
I have a question. So did you hear the tape on Belichick?
Yes.
Saying to Aaron Rodgers.
You're the best, man.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Oh, you're awesome.
You're the don't you think he wants him on his
team? Bill wants him. Bill wants him.
Yeah.
Bill loves Aaron Rodgers.
We'll send you the podcast of that segment. But yeah, Bill treats it like he's married to Brady, but he wants to sleep with Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty much how we categorized it.
He wants to do Rodgers.
Oh dear.
So on that note, Carol, thank you again. Thank you again for the donation of Christmas in the City. We really do appreciate it.
In all seriousness, very, very generous and thoughtful.
But I do want to thank Jake and Sparky.
Yep, Jake Kennedy and Sparky, who run the Christmas in the City. Yes. And you know it's our charity, folks, so you've heard it before, but any details on what we're talking about, christmasinthecity.org. Make a donation, help out this Christmas season. We're going to ramp up our fundraising efforts now starting after Thanksgiving like we usually do. So
December 16th.
December 16th at the Seaport. Is that what you're talking about? Felger Maz live broadcast December 16th at the Seaport. Carol and her lovely cheesehead friends will be there as well. So, Carol, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Oh, please, thank you. Thanks for being very there. Nice of you.
All right. Meanwhile, Jones, what?
Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.